welcome to Tiny Urban Homesteading. I'm your host, Justine. I'm a blogger and YouTuber of Country Girl in a Small and City World. I'm excited that you're here with me on this crazy journey of urban homesteading. I hope you enjoy our episode today and find this information useful and you want to come back for more. So here we go. Welcome to season number 2 of Tiny Urban Homesteading Podcast. I'm so excited to dive into season number 2 of this podcast, and I have a lot of exciting topics to talk about in the next couple weeks that I feel is a great way to start off our season number 2. So today's episode is going to be about preparing your homestead for any emergency situation. I feel like this is a really important topic because there has been a lot of things going on lately in the news that has really opened up the mind of individuals on how important it is to be prepared with any situation that may occur in your homestead. So let's get on with the podcast. Over the last couple weeks, winter storms have really devastated a lot of southern states. When seeing all the headlines and the articles online, it really was crazy to think of the devastation that occurred with these states because they were not prepared for these situations. In reality, you don't think that there's going to be major snowstorms in Texas and ice storms, and that just did not seem realistic. But unfortunately, those events did happen, and it really devastated a lot of the communities, not only in Texas, but other southern states. And it really opened my mind to thinking, how is my urban homestead prepared for a situation of any sort that could really be devastating to my area? And you know, I've been doing a lot of research on preparing and just ways to kind of be organized and prepared for whatever situation would be thrown at my homestead. So I really think this episode today is so important because we need to think about ways that we can be prepared in our homestead for any situations that do occur. That could be weather, pandemics, governmental chaos, anything like that. We need to be fully prepared. And I just think that we need to be prepared for anything because times are changing, the weather patterns are changing, and there's a lot of chaos surrounding us. And we need to make sure that our homesteads are ready for whatever comes our way. So I wanted to really just kind of break down some things that I've thought about in my homestead that I think a lot of other people should consider when creating an emergency plan for their urban homestead. And it's kind of a topic where it's not really too exciting. It's more of informative because I do feel that this is a very, very important topic when it comes to homesteading. And just in general, you don't even have to be a homesteader to take this information that I'm going to discuss and utilize it. Because no matter if you're a homesteader, a farmer, whatever you are, it's always good to be prepared. For myself, we live in Pennsylvania. So we're used to having winter storms, ice storms, flooding. We've had tornadoes come through here. Obviously, we don't have any hurricanes, but we do get the after effects of like crazy windstorms. We've had an earthquake back a couple years ago. So we've experienced a lot. So I feel like a lot of the northern states, we get some crazy kind of weather and whatnot. So when it comes to weather, I feel like we're a little bit more prepared, but other situations, like looking back at last year with the pandemic and just the chaos of being able to buy things at the grocery store and worrying about this and that, I feel like it's really important to make a plan moving forward to have in case any situation would occur that puts us kind of in a state of emergency. So the first thing to think about for your urban homestead is if there was a power outage, how would you handle that situation? I know for myself here in our urban homestead, you know, living in a city, it seems that our power does not go off for too many hours. I think the most it's ever been off was about 5 hours, and that's actually the longest it's ever been out because they try to restore it very quickly because we are a city. There's hospitals here. There's a lot of different buildings that need to have that power source because it's kind of life or death. So we are very fortunate where we're located that our power gets turned on very frequently when it goes off. But in case you live in an area where that doesn't happen, you need to be prepared to, how are you going to be able to deal with a power outage maybe for a short time period or a long term that it may be out? So the first and foremost, a lot of people purchase generators. Generators are an excellent way to be able to plug in certain appliances and technology to it to be able to charge your phones, to keep your refrigerators and your freezers plugged in so you have a food supply. It might be, you know, additional heat source, things like that. Having a radio to be able to hear what's going on. All those different kind of things are important. So generators, I have to say, are so important when it comes to power outages. If you live in an area where it's very unpredictable and you don't know when your power may come back on, you should get a generator. It's a good investment upfront. It may seem a little expensive. They have different types with different wattages that can handle more things being plugged in it and you know whatnot. But do some research on it. Generators are an excellent way to make sure you have power in emergency situations to be able to control those important items in your household for your family if the power does go out. Also, when it comes to your generator, making sure you have enough fuel on hand to be able to run the generator. Now, some people ran into the issues in the South where they actually were not able to get gas for these generators. So just thinking about that, and are you prepared with the generator to have enough gas to be able to run it for a certain allot of time? Next, making sure you have the basics when the power goes out. So that means things like flashlights, candles, extra batteries for those flashlights. Also, they have a lot of great items like crank alarm clocks, crank radios that are great for having that additional communication and listening to what's going on around you. So maybe it's a complete blackout and you don't know what's going on and your cell phone died. Having that radio is a great way to maybe still hear what's going on, depending if there's anybody on the radio talking about the current situation that's occurring. Battery packs for your cell phones and your laptops. So if you need that as a way of communication, having them, a lot of places sell these battery packs. I have a bunch of them. They're great. It takes a couple hours to charge it, and then that battery bank is charged and you can plug in your cell phones, your laptops, anything you need goes right into that battery pack. They're excellent to have. I have probably about 6 or 7 of them and we use them all the time, especially when we're going out in the boat, if we're going camping or anything like that. It's great to have those additional battery packs because you don't need to plug them in or you don't need solar or anything for them. You can just plug your phone right into it and it will charge your phone, which is excellent. The next thing is looking at your heating source. A lot of people, their heat runs only if there's electricity. So that causes a problem because if you lose power, how are you going to heat your house? And you need to look at those alternative methods to heat your home. So that means if you have a fireplace, making sure you have enough firewood in case the power does go out. Propane heaters, that's a big one. I know growing up, my parents, yes, we had electric heat, but we also had propane heaters. That was important in a fireplace to keep the home warm because we lived out in the country. So when our power went out, it took a couple hours to a day or two for it even to come back on because we lived in such a rural location. So by the time the power came back on, it could be days. It could almost be a week. So having those additional power sources were so important. If you don't have the ability to have additional power sources, maybe you live in an apartment where you can't just have a fireplace or you can't, you know, have these additional items. And thinking about extra clothing, having a bin that has extra clothing in case the power goes out, looking at closing off certain locations in your home that you're not using, that there might be more drafty air coming through, and closing that off and staying to one confined area in a room so that there is heat and just in that room and not anywhere else in your home. Also looking at around like the windows and doors, closing those off with some insulation or plastic just to be able to kind of control the cold air coming through your home. Those are some things to definitely look at when thinking about your power outage. Also, another thing that's kind of its own category in itself, but we're going to add it under power outages, is your water supply. You can't run your pumps, you can't run your toilets, all those kind of different things. You need electricity to do that because of your water pumps. So making sure you have enough bottled water in your supply, in your emergency supply. It's important to have water. Water is one of the biggest things that we need in this world to survive is water. So having those emergency water on hand in your home to make sure that you have enough for your family in case something does happen like that. Looking at the possibility of kind of going back to the power outage, even if it's due to cold weather like ice or snow or whatever it is, making sure that you're insulating your pipes. And if you know that there's a winter storm coming or an ice storm and it's going to have low, frigid, dangerous temperatures, making sure that you're surrounding those pipes with, they have foam covers and all these different things. Kind of, there's a lot of different techniques out there you can utilize, and also letting your faucets drip warm water, drip out of them so that they don't freeze up. I know sometimes it gets extremely cold, like we've seen in Texas, where it just froze everything. There was really no hope because everything just froze. So looking at alternative ways to prevent things like that happening, especially if you live in a location where you never think this will happen, that's a big thing. And I think a lot of people realize through this whole situation with the you know, winter storms and ice, that sometimes you may not think the situation may occur to you and where you live, but it's always a possibility. It's better to be prepared for whatever comes your way than to not be prepared. And then you run into a situation where your life and your family's life could be at risk because you're not prepared for it, or you may just not even think that you need to be prepared for it. So the next topic is grocery stores running out of food. So there is a possibility that if the power goes out and the grocery stores shut down, that they may lose a lot of products. Their freezer and their cooler stuff's probably going to go bad depending on how long the power's out and if they have a backup generator or whatever they have. So in that case, the grocery stores may be closed. And at that point, if you can't get to the grocery store and you ran out of food, what are you going to do? Are you going to be able to have enough food in your home to provide for your family? Are you going to be able to cook meals with your family that you may not have electricity? You need to think of these things. And I'm not really going to go too much into the whole long-term for short-term food supply because I have an episode in season one. It's episode number 12, where I talk about long-term versus short-term food supply and why it's important and some tips and tricks to help you build your supply up. And that's a great episode because you can really learn a lot about how to prepare, no matter if it's short-term or long-term, and what you should have in your pantry to be able to supply your family in case there isn't a, you know, emergency where you don't have any food available to you. So check out that episode number 12. It has a great information and will go more into being able to build that long-term and short-term food supply for your family. Moving on to the next topic, banks are closed. Say, for instance, there's a major power outage or there's a winter storm. Nobody can be on the roads because of the ice. So you can't get to the banks. They're closed and there's no access to the ATMs. Okay, so the grocery stores, they say you can come in and get groceries, but we don't have any electricity for a debit card machine, so you have to only use cash. If you're a person like me, and I'm guilty of this, I do not use cash a lot. That's just being completely honest. I'm usually always using my debit card. So in that situation, if you can only go to the grocery store and use cash and you don't have cash, you're in some trouble because unless you have cash somewhere stored away or you can barter someone for some cash, you're going to be in some trouble if you don't have already food in your supply and you need groceries. So looking at making sure you always kind of have an emergency fund of cash in case something would happen, that could be stashing it under your mattress, wherever you want to put it in one of your old cookbooks, just always have some extra cash on hand, at least maybe even like $250 or even less than that, but just to have some kind of cash in case something would happen in which you cannot get to the bank or maybe the banks aren't open or something happens weird that you can't go to the banks because they're shut down because of some emergency situation. So having cash on hand as well. Number four, if you have livestock, you need to have a plan in case of an emergency situation. How are you going to feed those animals? Are you going to have enough water, their shelter? So looking at food supply, making sure you not only do you have a food supply for your family, but having a food supply for your animals as well. And kind of have a plan of what's going to happen in case this scenario happens or that scenario happens. It's really important because you want to make sure that they're taken care of as well. Looking at your water supply. Now, if it's a situation where it's extreme cold weather, where you're getting ice and you've never had ice before and everything starts freezing up, how are you going to make sure that your livestock is getting water? So you need to make sure that you have a plan to have maybe some water troughs that are insulated, have a solar pumping system in there that can be able to pump that water through and keep it moving so it does not freeze. A heating system. They make certain heating pumps for livestock troughs for water. So looking at options like that. Also, if you have maybe some smaller animals where you don't have as big of water troughs, you can look into using a 20-ounce soda bottle and you fill it up with water and salts and you throw it in that trough. And it's supposed to, I've never actually done this, but people said it works. It'll actually help the water from freezing. So those are some things to look at, as well as if you have livestock, because you need to be making sure that they are taken care of as well in an emergency situation. Looking at the shelter, insulation, if it is that frigid, yes, animals can live a little bit better in the cold than some people can because of their makeup and, you know, their genes. But unfortunately, sometimes that's not the case for all farm animals and livestock. And you need to have a plan of, you know, insulation or how you're going to shelter. I mean, some people in Texas, they even brought their animals inside their house because they were extremely scared that their animals were going to freeze to death because their animals were not used to that kind of climate and they were never exposed to that. So they were afraid that they were going to die. And you can't blame them for wanting to make sure that their livestock are well taken care of because they're part of the family. And you don't want them to leave them out in the cold to die. That's not something as an individual who raises livestock, no matter if you're a homesteader or farmer, whatever it is, you don't want to be in that situation. So having a plan for any emergency situation, no matter where you live at, guys, it's so important to just be prepared. And I think sometimes we get just so busy in our lives and we don't think about these kind of things happening and it just pops up. And then you sit back and think, well, I wish I was prepared. And it's extremely just frightening to see how things can happen so quickly and things that you never think would happen. I think for me, it was really shocking because I never thought some of those southern states would ever get weather that cold, where it was actually colder down there than it was in Pennsylvania. And for us, we're used to that kind of stuff. But for other people who've never experienced even snow in their lives, it was a shock. And it's just devastating. There was lives lost. There was just so much damage done. And, you know, my heart goes out to anyone that's been affected by these, these snowstorms and ice storms. And it's just an unfortunate event. And I really hope that this event has opened people's eyes. So no matter where you live at, no matter your situation or where you're located, even, you need to be prepared for anything that comes your way. So I hope this podcast episode has been very useful to you, and I will see you on the next podcast.